The name of the lesson tonight is What Measure You Use. That idea is in two different places in the New Testament. Jesus uses that idea. One has to do with how we receive revelation from God, and the other has to do with how we give of ourselves to others. Tonight we're going to focus on, we'll look at both of them a little bit just to kind of see how God uses measures, but we're going to focus on the part of it where he says with the measure that we use is how he determines how he gives us revelation of himself. And we'll talk about what a measure is and what all that means. So let's go ahead and just kind of start reading through Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. We'll read 9 through 12, and then we'll skip to verse 21 through 25. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." Now he's been teaching, and he's been teaching with parables. So he's about to talk to the disciples about why he teaches in parables. So he makes this statement, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he's talking about ears to hear, he's not just talking about not being deaf and the ability to hear and understand speech. He's talking about the ability to hear and understand what it is that he's saying. To hear and understand what it is that God is trying to reveal to people. So whoever has ears to hear, whoever has spiritual ears that can hear and understand God and his revelation of himself, let him hear. Then when he was alone, the 12 and the apostles, and the others around him asked him about the parables. So Jesus had been teaching people in parables, and then when he got alone with the 12 and other close disciples, they asked him about that. It's like, "Jesus, what's up with all this parable stuff?" And he said, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables." So he tells the 12 and other close disciples of his that there's secrets of the kingdom of God that's been given to them. So this is an important idea throughout the scriptures. God chooses people and he reveals himself to those people. And the reason why he does that is because nobody would ever recognize him otherwise. We are sinners. Our minds are corrupt. We are spiritually dead, the Bible says. Dead people can't perceive things. So spiritually dead people can't really fully perceive and understand who God is. They can't understand the secret of his kingdom. They can't understand this kingdom of God, this spiritual kingdom that was coming about. But he told them that this secret of the spiritual kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, to those it hasn't been given to, everything is given to them in parables. So he was teaching in parables so that the people that weren't supposed to understand wouldn't understand. That's a strange concept to most people. Most people think that God wants everybody to understand. But he clearly says that there are those that I want to understand and there are those that I don't. Therefore, I reveal things in a way that causes the ones I want to understand and the ones I don't not to. He does things in a way that purposefully confuses and confounds the smart people of the world. He purposefully created his gospel in the way that he has revealed himself to us through prophets and through the word and through miracles. He did all of that in a way that the intellectual people of the world often have difficulty believing it. And he did it that way on purpose. He says, "I say everything to them in parables so that they may be ever seeing but not perceiving, and ever hearing but not understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." That's a hard statement that a lot of people have difficulty with. But it's a very clear one, and this is made in multiple places in the scriptures, that God purposefully presents himself in a way that some people understand and some people don't. He makes it possible for people to understand because we wouldn't on our own. So he does it this way so that they may be ever seeing but not perceiving. They're able to see what Jesus did. I mean, You couldn't not see it. He was doing amazing things. He was taking people that they knew, had known all their life. These weren't young people. These were adults that had been crippled from birth. And he heals them, and they can walk. He takes people who have been blind from birth. They never saw. Everybody knows that. They've known them all their lives. This isn't a fake thing. And he makes this person see. He takes someone who was deaf their whole life, and he makes them hear. He casts out demons. He multiplies bread and fish and feeds thousands of people. These are all very clear things that people can see. And we often wonder, how come these people saw these things and didn't recognize them for what they were? Because God didn't reveal it to them. He presented it in a way that they, while always seeing what was going on, yet did not perceive. And at the same time, he's teaching them amazing things in ways that nobody ever taught before. Yet they were ever hearing but never understanding. The same ones that killed him, that beat him and spit on him and crucified him, sat there and heard him teach just like everybody else. They heard it, but they did not perceive it. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. If he hadn't have done it in this way, these people would have turned from their sin and been forgiven. It's a strange statement coming from Jesus, right? I purposefully hid these things from them because if they heard them and understood them and perceived them and saw them and perceived them, they would naturally turn and be saved. I think that's the reality of it. There is no mind in this world that rightly perceived and understood God and Jesus that would not immediately go, this makes total sense to me. I repent of my sins. I'm a sinner. I turn to God and I believe on what Jesus did. But God has presented it in such a way that there are some people that although they see, they don't perceive. Although they hear, they don't understand. Because if they did, they would turn and be forgiven. Oftentimes people talk about the gospel and Christianity as being irrational. And these are often intellectual people. And they say, this is irrational compared to what I perceive the world to be. But that's the point right there. It's only irrational if you perceive that there is no God. If you perceive that there is not a holy God who cannot stand sin and will punish all sin with an eternity in hell. If you do not believe that, if you think that is unreal and just a myth, then Christianity is irrational and makes no sense whatsoever. And things like evolution becomes a more rational perspective. But if you recognize this God for who he is, and when you see ourselves for who we are, then this is the rational decision to make. Once it is revealed to you and you understand it and perceive it, there's no other decision that makes any sense at all. It's completely rational. And what becomes completely irrational is the atheistic evolutionary perspective. That's the craziness. It makes no sense when you perceive and understand God for who he is. So he goes on to say to them, he explains a parable, and then he picks back up with this line of thinking in verse 21. He said to them, do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? He says, do you take a light into your house? And at this time, lights were mostly made out of flames. I'm not sure of another way they made a light. So it would be a lamp of some sort that had a flame, a candle or an oil lamp or something of that sort. When you bring it in, do you take that lamp and set it down and put a bowl over the top of it? Or do you stick it underneath your bed? That would probably be a bad decision. You're probably going to burn the house down, right? You know, you don't do that with the lamp. What do you do with the lamp when you bring it in the house or the candle? You put it on a stand so that it can light the place. Do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or on a bed? No. Instead, Don't you put it on its stand? You put it in a place where it can give light. For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. What he's talking about here is he's making an analogy about these truths. He says, there are these things, the secret of the kingdom of heaven, that I'm going to reveal to you and not to others. Those that I don't reveal it to right now, I'm going to teach them in parables so that hearing they won't perceive, so that seeing they won't understand. I'm just going to do it in that way so they can't understand. So the natural thinking there is, well, why? Shouldn't these truths be made known to everyone? I mean, it makes sense, right? And that's what he's saying here. He says, yes, there will come a point when all of these secret things will be made known clearly to everyone. They're not going to be hidden forever, because these sorts of things, this light unto the world, needs to be seen by everyone. Right now, it's only shown to the ones that I'm showing it to. But at some point, this thing that's now hidden, it will be disclosed. This thing that's now concealed, it will be brought into the open, and everyone will see it. And when they do, they'll have the reaction that Jesus predicted. They will turn. They'll change their minds. But they won't be forgiven, because it'll be too late. But when they see it, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So these things will be revealed. Everybody will see them at a point. Right now, they're only shown to some and hidden from others. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. These are hard sayings that our ears don't really want to hear, but we need to hear them. So that's how God operates. Now, once we come to the place where we realize that God has chosen us, He has opened our ears and gave us ears to hear spiritual things. He has opened our eyes, and He's given us spiritual eyes that are able to see and to perceive what God is doing in the world around us. Now we need to learn something about, now that we're at that place that God has shown Himself to us, we have understood and perceived, and we've turned, and we've been saved. Now, how do we get more of that? How do we get more of Him? How does that work? And that's what He begins to teach here. He says, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. So we need to consider carefully everything that we hear from the Lord. We need to consider it very carefully. We need to think about it. We need to take it very seriously. Because how serious we take it has to do with how much of it He will give us. And He says that with the phrase, with what measure you use, it will be measured to you. What does He mean when He says, with what measure you use? What are we talking about here? What measure you use?
I always think about it like a vessel, like you're measuring something out into a vessel, and the vessel you are using would be the type of vessel He would use. So if you were taking small portions, He would give small portions.
Exactly. So let's make that concrete. I've got some object lessons for tonight. So this is a measure. Who knows what measure this one is? Quarter of a teaspoon. Right on it. Good job. Quarter of a teaspoon. That's a tiny little measure, right? Itty bitty little bit. Then there's a half a teaspoon. That's a good bit bigger. I mean, you put them beside each other, they're both small, but one's twice as big as the other, obviously, right? Then you got a whole teaspoon. Then you got a tablespoon. Extra points for who could tell me how many teaspoons are in a tablespoon.
Three.
Excellent. So this one's three times the size of that one. So with what measure, or what measuring spoon you decide to use, when you receive it, the exact same measure is what God is going to use the next time He gives it. See? With what measure you use to receive it is the measure He's going to use to give it. The idea there is that the amount that he allocates revelation of Himself to us at the rate at which we're willing to receive it. That's a very, very important lesson. We'll talk a little bit more about what it means to receive. So there's some four measures. What is this? Quarter of a cup. Yeah. Quarter of a cup. How many, who can tell me how many tablespoons are in a quarter of a cup?
Probably about four.
Two. Two tablespoons in a quarter of a cup, which means there's 16 in a cup. Pretty sure that works out because I poured two of them in there. And then we got, that was an eighth of a cup, which is two. A quarter of a cup is four. Sorry. And then here is a third of a cup. Half a cup. I don't know why this one doesn't match the other ones. I don't know. I don't know if this set didn't come with a half or we lost the half. I'm not sure what happened there. But this is the half. It's one of these don't belong. There's a cup, right? So we got all these different size measures. I'm gonna move this chair so we can see better.
Yeah.
And then we got another cup, measuring cup that'll hold even more. And then we got a four-cup measuring cup. And then we've got the five-gallon bucket. Right? With what measure you measure, God measures. We're the ones that determine how much of Him we know by how much of Him we're willing to receive. He won't give it to us at a rate faster than we will receive it. In other words, if He tries to give us something and we reject it, He stops. If He tries again with a smaller amount and we reject it, He stops. When He tries again with a smaller amount, if we receive that, He'll try again with that smaller amount. And then He may try again. And then if we're receiving that, then He may give us a little bit bigger amount again to see where we are. But it's the measure that we're willing to receive that determines how fast He gives it to us. So if we look around us and we see some people seem to be getting it a lot faster than us, it's not because of anything other than they're willing to receive it faster than us. And when we look at ourselves and look at how we're getting to know God and how quickly that's happening and how much of Him we know, we need to understand that He is measuring it out to us at the rate that we're willing to receive it, the same measure we receive it at. So with what measure you use to receive it, it will be measured to you and even more. Here's the thing about God. He's not stingy, right? He's going to do a little better than us. If we receive it at a small rate, He's going to put it on there, and then He's going to put a little bit more. What does this little bit more look like? Well, look down at that next verse, the next passage there, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. He uses this same thing when He's talking about us giving of ourselves to others. And it's all kinds of giving. It's the giving of money. It's the giving of food. It's the giving of time. It's the giving of love. It's the giving of revelation about God. It's whatever we give out in His name. It says, give and it will be given to you. So as we give, then it will be given back to us by God. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So I like this description of how He measures. I like the way God measures. He's a good measurer. So what He does is, I'm willing to accept this cup of God. And we'll talk more about what it means to accept it. But I'm willing to receive this much of God, right now. And so God, the next time that he wants to give me of himself, he will scoop out a scoop of himself. And then it says he takes that scoop, and it's a good measure, right? It's not a bad one. It's not a, you know, I tell you this is a cup, but it's really like half a cup. His cup is a good one. It's a full measure. It's a full cup. So he takes a good measuring cup, he scoops some of himself out, and then he mashes it in there, right? You ever done that before? Like you're trying to get a cup of something in there, and some things are thick. Like you're trying to put a cup of butter or a cup of something like that, and you have to mash it to mash out the air pockets and stuff. And then there's some things that are kind of bulky, and you put them in there, and you can mash it down, but then if you take it and just kind of shake it and beat it like that on the bottom, it'll settle down, and then you can put a little more in there, right? That's the way God measures. He mashes it down, and he shakes it, and he rattles it, and he mashes it. And then when he gets as much in there as he can get, then he takes and he pours on top as much as he can pour until it starts falling off the side. And then that's the measure that he gives to us. Isn't that a neat picture? So with whatever measure we're willing to receive, God measures back to us and even more. He mashes it tight. He shakes it down. And then he pours more on top till it starts running off. And then he hands it to us. And the more we're willing to receive, the bigger the measure is that we're willing to take, the bigger the amount that he can give us. The more of himself that he can reveal to us. And the more of him we begin to experience. Here's an interesting thing about God. Those that will receive, he gives more to. Those that reject and push back, he takes away even what he's given them up to that point. You see it in multiple parables, and you see it here. Whoever has will be given more. So if we're accepting at this rate, he'll keep giving it. And as we accept at a bigger rate, he'll keep giving it at that rate as well. But whoever does not have, when we stop receiving, even what we have will be taken away. So we need to understand that this is how God works. God chooses his people. He gives himself to them. And at the rate at which we are willing to receive him, he will continue to give at that rate. Abundantly, even more. And as we receive more, he'll give it a bigger measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Now, let's look at an illustration of this or an example. In Matthew chapter 11, we're going to look at two different things. One is those that reject, and the other is those that receive. In Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 27 through 33. Again, they entered Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking through the temple area. The leading priests, the teachers of the righteous law, religious law, and the elders came up to him. They demanded, "By what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right to do them?" And Jesus replied, "I'll tell you what authority I do these things if you answer one question. Did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human? Answer me." They talked it over among themselves. "If we say it was from heaven, he will ask why we didn't believe John. But if we dare say it was merely human, but do we dare say it was merely human?" They asked that question of themselves, for they were afraid of what the people would do, because everyone believed that John was a prophet. So they finally replied, "We don't know." And Jesus responded, "Then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things." See, the Bible talks about that John was the forerunner of Jesus. His job was to prepare the way for Jesus to come. And anybody that received John and received his message would be willing to receive Jesus' message. If they accepted that little bit, then he would give them even more. So when the religious leaders came up to Jesus and were demanding of him, how are you doing these things? How are you doing these miracles? They saw them, but didn't recognize them for what they were. How are you getting this teaching? They heard him teach, but didn't recognize it for what it was. So he asked them about John, who had already been given to them. Where did John's authority come from? And if they were willing to recognize John's authority for what it was, that it came from God and that he was the forerunner to the Messiah, then Jesus would have revealed himself to them. But when they rejected that, when they were unwilling to say that he came from God, that John came from God, then Jesus would not reveal himself to them. He gave them with the same measure that they were already willing to receive. So we need to be careful that we receive what God has given us, and then he'll give us more. So what does it mean to receive? On one hand, to receive revelation from God about Jesus and God and who they are means to believe it, right? We hear this thing, we believe that it is true. We hear what is being said, and we acknowledge it. That sounds right to me. But I think that to really receive it is more than that. At that level is the people that say, Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. And he says, I never knew you. See, that's not far enough. To really receive like he's talking about is to hear it, to believe it, and to act on it. To do it. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. When God gives us revelation of himself, he expects us to act on it. He wants us to believe it, to hear it, to see it, to look at it carefully, and to act accordingly. To do in such a way, to live our lives in such a way as if that thing is true. So we're not just to listen to God's revelation of himself. We must also act on it. Otherwise, we're fooling ourselves. Only at that point, and it's easy to stop there. You know, and that's a problem that I have had in my life before, where it was enough for me just to learn a lot about God, to learn a lot about the Bible. And I felt like the more I learned, the more spiritual I was. And in fact, the opposite was true. The more I learned, the more conceited and proud I became, and the less spiritual I was. It's not until we are willing to act on it, till we recognize who God is and what he's like, and allow that to humble us and change us and show us who we are. And then we begin to live accordingly. We begin to live a life such that we are completely under his control and following his will because of who he is. And we just ask him, what do you want me to do? Instead of saying, here's what I'm going to do, Lord. I want you to bless it. It's when we act upon what he has revealed to us that we are actually receiving it. And not just fooling ourselves. Because if we just listen and don't obey, it's ridiculous. I mean, the example that he gives is ridiculous, right? that I could go and look in the mirror at myself and then turn my head and forget what I look like, right? We've all looked in the mirror. We know what we look like. We go and look in another mirror and go, oh, who is that? You know, it's ridiculous. It's just as ridiculous for God to reveal himself to us and then for us not to act on that knowledge, not to act accordingly. Instead, we need to look carefully at what he's revealed. Look carefully, because what he has revealed to us is what sets us free from sin and from this body that we're in and allows us to live the life that he wants us to live. And if we'll do what he says and don't forget what we've heard, then God will bless us for doing it. And that blessing looks like what we described earlier. That whatever we're willing to receive and believe and act upon, that is the measure that God will continue to reveal himself at. And I think oftentimes we will stall in our spiritual growth because we're only willing to receive the knowledge and not act on it. It's the amount of it that we act on that actually, I believe, is what determines the size of the measure. We may be learning information at this rate, but if we're only acting on it at this rate, he will only continue to give it at this rate. When we hear it, consider it carefully, do it, and not forget what we've heard, then God blesses us by giving us more of that. And more of that. And the more we hear, and the more we believe, and the more we act on, the more he gives. By what measure we use, he measures it back to us. And because he's gracious, and then some.